with your people. And I pray, Lord, that your people will feel a sense of encouragement and hear from you, and that we would be built up in our faith together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'm going to speak on a particular subject. And I felt that God laid this particular subject. And the subject is knots. Knots. Like, you know, you tie your shoes. You have to tie it in a knot. Can everybody tie their shoelaces this morning? Yeah. But there's an art of tying your shoelaces that when you're young, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? But you have to kind of get it in a knot, in a double knot. And have you ever tried to untie a really tight knot? It's not a very difficult thing to do. Like, if for whatever reason you pulled the laces in your shoe and you pulled them really tight and you couldn't get your shoes off and you needed to untie the knot, that's a very difficult thing to do. And so a few weeks ago, I felt that the Lord laid the subject of knots on my heart. And because I was sick and various other stuff was happening, so the word was still in there, and I thought I have to talk about this, like, you know. So I want to talk to you about knots and the knots that we may find in our lives. Sometimes we may have the power or the ability to untie some of those knots ourselves, and then there may be some other really tight knots that we can't do ourselves, and we need God to untie those knots for ourselves and to release us in that way. So this morning I'm talking about knots. And have you ever heard somebody saying that expression, I'm tied up in knots? And when somebody says that, what are they saying? They're probably saying that they're stressed, or they're confused, or they're unsettled, or they're in pain, or they're not in the zone where they'd like to be. They're not functioning from a peaceful place, but they're maybe consumed with something, and it has them all in knots. And so I think that sometimes a particular situation could have that effect on our lives, that we get sucked into it or consumed by it, that we feel like, oh, it has me in knots. Or even, not only a situation, but even other people. Something somebody else says. Has this ever happened to you, where somebody has said something and it's just thrown you? And you hinge on what they've said. It has such an impact on your own heart or your own life, to the point where it has you in knots. You just can't, you're entangled in it, in what they've said. You can't let it go. And actually, as I was thinking about knots and ropes and cords, there was that particular word that I was mindful of, entangled. And that word appears in Scripture sometimes. And I looked it up in the dictionary, as I normally do. And this is what the word entangled means. It's, number one, it says, cause to become twisted together or caught in. So if you or me were entangled in something, we are twisted together, we're caught in it. That paints a picture, doesn't it? And the second definition of the word entangled is someone in difficulty or complicated circumstances from which it is difficult to escape. And I thought, yes, sometimes that's true, isn't it? That we feel like we're caught in difficult circumstances and we want to get out of that, but we find it difficult because we may feel, oh, I feel like I'm caught, I'm tied up in this, I'm entangled in this. Who will untie me? God, will you untie this knot that I'm in at the moment? And so we're talking about knots. If you came here and you thought you were going to hear about the Christmas story, I'm sorry if I've disappointed you. You know, because when we get to the Christmas season, we sometimes, preachers and pastors, talk about the Christmas story. But here I am talking about not, so I apologize for that. But I don't really apologize because I have to talk about what he gives me to talk about. So, yeah, there's a kind of a balance in there. And as I was thinking about these things, I began to ask myself, did anybody in the Bible ever experience that sense of being entangled or caught up or tied up in knots? And one of the things that I realize is that this kind of language is spoken about in the Bible. And I want to show you some of the scriptures that you may have come across yourself. The psalmist, he speaks in Psalm 116, verses 3 and 4. He says these words. He says, "The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. And then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me." And there you have this person who's describing the circumstances of their lives. And they're using that language. They're painting that picture of being entangled. And they're distressed or they're overwhelmed. And it's having an impact upon their lives. And so if you ever felt like that and you began to think to yourself, has anybody ever felt like this before? The answer is yes. Not only your fellow brothers and sisters may have experienced that sense of being tied up in knots or entangled in something that they want to get out of, but people within the Bible also experience this. And then again, in Psalm 119, verse 61, it says this, "Though the wicked bind me with ropes, I will not forget your law." And so here is this person that's writing the Psalms. And they paint the picture of other people are binding them or tying them up in ropes. And in the midst of that difficulty, he says, "I won't forget your law." And so what does that mean for me and you? It means then that there are times where we may feel like we're tied up in knots because of other people or other circumstances. We feel that sense of entanglement or distress, or we want to get out of that situation. But in the midst of it, we say, "I won't forget your law. I won't forget you, God. I won't forget your word. I won't forget what you are to me, the preciousness of you to me. I'm going through this, and I'm in the midst of this, and I'm entangled in this. But there is one thing that I will say, I will not forget you." And I think that's something that you and I can say together when we're in situations, or if other people are having an impact on our lives in such a way where we feel that sense it's having us tied up in knots, that we can say the same thing, that "I won't forget your law, I won't forget your word." And I suppose if you were to ask any Bible scholar, "Sure, tell me something about ropes or in the Bible," this is probably the most famous verse, which is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. And it says, "A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." And that's like a rope. Have you ever noticed that a rope often has three strands and they're twisted together? And you may know that often at a marriage ceremony, that particular verse is quoted. And the reason why people speak about that verse at a marriage ceremony is simply because the three strands of the rope are symbolic of the husband and the wife, and the third strand is God, and that they are twisted together, which means that there is a tightness, that it's not easily broken. And I suppose what they're saying is that the relationship of intimacy between the husband, the wife, and God together, that there is a strength in that when God is a part of the marriage, in a sense. And that's true, even in practical terms. If you ever try to snap a rope, it's a very difficult thing to do. It's very strong. And may God's presence be in our lives in that way, that there is a strength not only in our own individual lives, but in our marriages and in that intimate relationship that we have with God, that he brings a strength to our lives in some way. Bless the Lord. And then, don't know if you can see it, but Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it doesn't use the terminology of ropes and cords, but there is one word that is kind of in the language of what we're speaking about this morning. And it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And it's that word entangled that I came to my mind as I was thinking about these things. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And it was that word entangled. And I think on the journey of faith that happens sometimes, you know, that we don't want to be entangled in anything. You know, if there's one thing we want to be entangled is, it's in the love and in the presence of God. That's our aim. That's our desire. But the reality is sometimes we do get entangled with things. And the person who wrote that says, let us throw it off. He encourages the believers. That's you and me. So if there is anything that's in your life that you don't want in your life, if you have the ability to, throw it off so that you don't become entangled in it, that you walk freely in faith and in love and in hope. And I was thinking to myself, like, what are some of the knots of life? What are some of the knots of faith? And I came up with a few of them. Pain. The knot of pain. As you already know, a couple of weeks ago on a Friday, I went to work and I had some cramps in my tummy. And I normally have cramps in my tummy. I go, you know, get by, like, you know. And I went to work, and as I was in work, the cramps grew and grew, and it was becoming more painful throughout the day. And by the time I got home in the evening, like, I was in a knot of pain on the floor, like. And I was like, Orla, I'm in pain. Please help me. It's like one big knot. And then I went to the hospital and got sorted and stuff like that. But sometimes pain, we describe it in that way, don't we? We're in a knot of pain. And that could be physical pain or even maybe emotional pain of some way that we feel it's got a tight grip upon our lives. Pain. Another one is worry. Isn't that a knot? The knot of worry, that sometimes we worry, and that's not to say we have cares and concerns, don't we? That's real. But have you ever been so worried about something that's dear to your heart that you're consumed by it to the point where it has you in knots? Do you get what I'm talking about? That worry can bring you to a place where we feel we're in knots, we're entangled, and you think, oh, I can't stop worrying, I don't want to be in this place. Please untie the knot of worry within my life. And do you remember that story of Mary and Martha, and Jesus went to their home, and Mary sat listening to Jesus, and Martha was preparing something. We think it might have been a meal or something, and she was in, if there was a kitchen in our house that day, the place where they prepare meals. And but she got all caught up in the distractions. I think Jesus, if my memory serves me correctly, he says, you're worried about many things. And she got to that place where she was consumed by the things that were on her heart. And I think sometimes that can happen, that there can be the knot of pain or the knot of worry. And I wrote down the word relationship here. Could that be a knot? The knot of relationships where we're in a relationship with someone or something and it's got a tight grip upon our lives. And we think, maybe so, I don't know. I don't know why I wrote that word down there. The complexities of relationships sometimes may have us in knots. We want the relationship to be sweet and to be free and just loving and kind and peaceful. This kind of flow between ourselves and the other person, we want peace, but sometimes the complexities of relationships may have us in knots. Isn't that true? And there is one knot that I want to share with you this morning. You know, I have one particular knot that I want to talk to you about this morning. Do you want to know what it is? Yeah, you do. All right. It's the knot of negativity. Oh, I know I shouldn't have this. The knot of negativity. And have you ever heard of the knot family? No, it's a fictional family. I've made them up, but I'm going to share them with you this morning. Okay, the not family, there's five members in this family. There is a father, and he's a husband. He's got a wife. So there's a husband and wife, and they have three children, and they are called the not family. And I'll share them with you now. I press this little button over here. Okay, come on. There you go. Ah, Mr. Cannot is married to Mrs. Havenot, and they have three children. Their first child is a daughter, and her first name is May. And they have the second child, which is called Michael, but all of his friends call him Mite for short. And then they have a third child, and his name is William, but everybody calls him Will. And so the Knott family is Mr. Cannot, Mrs. Have Not, May Not, Might Not, and Will Not. And they are the Knott family. Have you ever heard of the Knott family before? No. All right. Okay. So let me introduce you to the Knott family. And unfortunately, the Knott family are a very negative family. Ah. And the reason why they're very negative is because Mr. Cannot, do you know what his favorite word is? It's cannot. So be very careful if you ever bump into this fella, because if you tell him any of your hopes and dreams in God, he'll begin to tell you, sure, it cannot happen. It cannot be solved if you have a problem. It cannot be worked out. Be careful of bumping into Mr. Cannot, because his perspective is a negative perspective. And he always says, it cannot happen. It cannot be achieved. It cannot be worked out. If you have a problem, it cannot be solved. And his favorite word is cannot. And he has a wife, and she's Mrs. Cannot, but her maiden name is Have Not. And all her friends, they say to Mrs. Have Not, look at what you have. You've got a husband, and you've got three children, and you've got a faith in God. Look at what you have. You've got so much. But she never takes on board what her friends say to her, because she continually focuses on what she does not have. And that's why she's called Mrs. Have Not. She looks at her life and she says, I have not got this, and I have not got that, and I have not got these, and I have not got them. But all her friends and her family say, but look at what you have. You've got so much. But she never really comes to that place where she recognizes what she has. She focuses on what she does not have. And that's why she's called Mrs. Have Not. And this is the Knott family. They have a daughter, and her first name is May. And May and Might, they have reliability issues. The reason why they have reliability issues is because anytime their parents ask them to do something, May says, well, it may happen, or it may not happen. And Might says, it might happen, or it might not happen. And then, but Will, he's the youngest, he says, it definitely will not happen. I'm not going to do what you ask me to do. I will not do it. And so, I know we're laughing about the Knott family, and it is quite funny, but it's true, isn't it? Sometimes that the knot of negativity can be a small knot, but it can be a tight knot where we may say, I want this to happen, but I cannot see it happening. I have not got this, and I have not got that. It may not happen for me. It might not happen for me. It will not happen for me. If you ever bump into this family, be careful of listening to them. Be careful of taking on board their terminology or what they say to you, because we are a people of faith and we are a people of trust. Do you remember what the word in Proverbs says? It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And why did I want to share that particular knot with you this morning is just to say here, don't allow yourself to get into that zone where this knot begins to take root or be tightened in your life. Don't allow this this view or perspective to be in your mind or in your heart where you say, I cannot do this, or I have not got that, or it may not happen for me, or it might not happen for me, or it will not happen for me. It's a negative not. Whereas God would say to you, walk with me. I am for you. I have the ability to bring all things together for those who love me and are called according to my purposes. When we place our faith and our hope in Jesus, we hope for more. We hope for better. We have a hope, and that's a real hope. And it's not the power of positive thinking, but rather it's a reality of faith of a God who loves us. And so we walk with him. And even in the complexities of life and the difficulties and the challenges of life, we can still place our faith and our hope in a God who loves us and who walks with us and goes before us. But just be careful of the knot of negativity, that doesn't become a tight knot in your mind or in your heart. Cannot, have not, may not, might not, and will not. It's a fictional family called a not family, but yet it's very real in life, isn't it? Where we could get to that place in our mind where we begin to believe in some way that it cannot happen, or it will not happen, or it may not happen. When God may say something else, he says, all things are possible for him who believes. Continue to place your faith in him. Continue to place your hope in him. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, persevere. Keep on walking. Don't throw your faith away. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on other people. Don't give up on God. That even when life is difficult, even when there are knots in our lives, don't stop. Don't stop walking by faith. Continue to place your hope in him for your life and for those that you love. Don't stop walking. Don't stop operating in faith. Persevere, the Bible says. Persevere through the difficult times and through the challenges of life. I came across this during the week as well. And it's about resilience. Are you a resilient person? To be resilient, that is to press on or to keep on going when other things are pressing in against you. And it says the five common factors of a resilient person. And this could be a description of you. Number one, a resilient person is they are resourceful and have good problem-solving skills. And so, is that you? Is that a description of your life, that you're resourceful? You look at what you have and you avail of what you have, but you also, when you have a problem or a challenge, you look for the solution. Number two, a common factor of a resilient person is they're more likely to seek help whenever they need it. And so if you need a bit of help, go to God, but go to God's people as well and ask for help, and not to be afraid to receive help if you need a little bit of help. Number three, they hold the belief that they can do something that will help them manage their feelings in order to cope with life's challenges. And do you have that belief that you could do something, that rather than getting entangled in the knot of the circumstances of life, that you could go to God, or you could go and be resourceful in terms of God's people? Number four, they have social supports available. So you have friends and family that you could turn to. And number five, they are connected with others, such as family and friends. I don't know if that's a description of you or me, but all I do know is that we are the family of God. And to continue to walk in faith, to continue to fix our eyes on Jesus and know that his love is on our lives, but also as we walk with him together, to be careful not to allow the knot of negativity to have a tightness on our minds or on our heart, where we begin to say, sure, it cannot happen, it may not happen, will not happen, it might not happen, and where we focus on what we don't have rather than being thankful for what we have received. And what have we received? We've received Jesus Christ. We've received the blessings from God our Father. And we've received his love. And we've received his promises. And so, as I bring these things to an end, what should we end with? Sure. Don't listen to the Knott family. If they try and convince you that it cannot happen or it may not happen or it will not happen, just be careful of listening to the negative Knott family. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your faith. Keep on walking by faith. Keep on trusting by faith. Keep on believing by faith. Keep on walking in closeness with God's people and walking in closeness with God. Don't give up on yourself. If you ever feel like you want to give up on yourself or other people have given up on you, be assured today that God will not give up on you. He won't give up on you. Do you know why? Because he loves you too much. If you ever get to a place and you think, oh, I feel like I'm giving up on myself or other people are giving up on me, his commitment to you is so strong that he'll follow you and he'll catch you. Have you ever played that game of chasing when you were a child? You know, somebody's running after you. Well, God is a bit like that. He'll chase you until he has you and that he has you in his arms and that he will hold you. So don't give up on God, but don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on other people as well. Sometimes we feel that we may have a temptation to give up on somebody, but try not to if you can. And then, number three, Lord, please untie the knots that I cannot untie myself. And I think that there are things in our lives that we may have the power or the potential to untie ourselves. And we think, yes, I can do this. But then there might be something in our lives that's too tricky or too tight. And we say, Lord, will you come and help? Will you untie this for me? Because I cannot untie it myself. And would you be willing to allow God to do that for you? That if he was to give you that offer to say, here, would you like some help with this in your life? Would you allow him to come close to you and to say, okay, this knot is a little bit tight, but I'm going to untie it for you. And I don't know if you have any knots. But all I do know is that sometimes we can be tied up in knots for different reasons. And so, will we invite the Lord to do this? Would you be willing to allow God to come close to you this morning and say, Lord, just come and untie whatever knots is in my life. And let us say, Lord, we're going to end with these three things. Lord, I don't want to listen to the Knott family, the negativity of that is not compatible with the life of faith. I don't want to get negative or allow the knot of negativity to take root in my life or in my life of faith. But just to fix your eyes on God. And our commitment is not to give up on God, not to give up on the life of faith. To say, Lord, I'm going to keep on walking. I'm going to keep on trusting. I'm going to keep on believing. That's my commitment to God this morning. And also, Lord, we give you the invitation to come close to us this morning. And just to say, Lord, if there is any knots or anything in our lives that would have us in knots, bring us into that place where we feel that we're not at peace. We ask you to untie that and just to release us from that or to lift us from that. And we just ask for you just to do your work, because God is gentle and God is loving. And his commitment is a loving commitment to you, just to so that you are walking free before him. And I think that's God's plan for each person's life here this morning, that we are operating from a place of faith, but that we're walking free with him. And in order for us to walk free, he may have to untie or take us out from the entanglement of whatever it is that we are entangled in. And so, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your love towards us. And we just reaffirm our faith in you this morning. And we commit our lives to you. And we just say, Lord, come with us and walk with us as we walk with you, that we walk in a place of freedom. And we give you permission to untie anything that needs to be untied, so that we're walking freely before you. And we give you ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.